Welcome to Cookbook Club. We are home cooks from Portland, Oregon. Every month, we choose a cookbook, make lots of recipes from it, and then get together to share some of the dishes we made. We talk about what worked, what didn't, and decide whether this is a cookbook we can't live without.
I'm Sarah Gray.
And I'm Renee Wilkinson. This week, we're talking about It's All Easy by Gwyneth Paltrow with Thea Bowman.
I don't think I need to explain to anyone who Gwyneth Paltrow is, but maybe you don't know that this actress, model, and Goop mogul has written or co-written 6 cookbooks. It's All Easy was co-written with Goop food editor Thea Bowman and published in 2016. It's a collection of easy recipes running the gamut from so easy it's barely even a recipe to slightly more complex, pulling from a number of cuisines. This book has saved dinner on many weeknights in my house. Have you cooked from it, Renee?
I have dabbled in this cookbook, and I think that I have dabbled enough to have a set of really strong opinions to share with everyone today.
So much to talk about. I just wanted to sort of do an overview of the book. It's a book divided up into sections. It's got like a breakfast section, a little pick-me-up section. It's got a summer and a winter section and a dessert section. There are a lot of recipes in it. It's a really pretty book. You know, it has beautiful photography and all of that. I think it is a pretty legitimate weeknight, easy recipe cookbook.
I guess we can say that Gwyneth delivers on It's All Easy.
It really is quite easy.
It is so easy that you really have to wonder whether these are even recipes.
Some of them are so simple.
Like toast with avocado. Do we need a recipe for avocado toast?
I personally don't.
No, but if you did, then you could find it in this cookbook. So yeah. That counts as a recipe.
In those recipes that are just so simple that they're not, you know, they're not even really anything, I kind of think of it as an idea book. It's like, oh, here's something I could prepare.
Right. Not really a meal, or maybe it is a meal if you're Gwyneth Paltrow, but for the rest of us, it's like a 3 o'clock snack, you know, or like I already had breakfast, but I could use something before lunch.
Right. I always think of the yogurt parfait, which, again, is not a recipe. And I think she even says that in the recipe. She's like, you don't really need a recipe for this. But what you do is you take yogurt and then you put some granola on top and some fruit.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't made the avocado toast recipe as written, but I have made some of the other simple recipes like the acai bowl that's in the breakfast section. That's another one that really isn't a recipe. Like, you don't need like a yogurt parfait. You don't need a recipe. You're not making the yogurt. In the acai bowl, it's really just components of assembly. You know, it'd be like somebody giving you a recipe for like a breakfast crepe that uses already made crepes or something.
Right.
It's like, okay.
It's like, here's some ideas for what you could put on top of it.
Yeah.
So here's the order in which you assemble it.
I do have like a sticky note with bullet points on it of like, here's what to put in the acai bowl for lunchtime at work. And it is based on her recipe.
Okay.
Because it is good. And it's like a nice, healthy lunch when I feel like I'm not hungry enough to eat, but I know that I need to eat, you know, because that happens sometimes for me. Her Thai curry noodle pot recipe is an interesting one because it is also kind of assembly. You're really not cooking anything. You're putting, you know, noodles in a jar. Like, the method is good. It's almost like something you'd find on Pinterest.
Right.
It's sort of like those, you know, how there are those jarred salads that you can like prep and then you take it to work and then you shake it all up and then you have salad for lunch.
Right.
That's the same idea with the Thai curry noodle pot.
You where, like, layer the ingredients and then you pour the hot broth in.
Yeah, you pour the hot broth in when you're ready to eat it. And it is good. It's not like the best by far, like the best Thai curry noodle pot ever, because you're using like already prepared curry and like it's just, you know,
sure,
this is not authentic Thai cuisine by any stretch of the imagination. But it is something that I have tried 1 or 2 weeks to be like, okay, this week is going to be Thai curry noodle pot day. And I'm going to like prep 5 of these and keep them in the fridge.
Okay.
And then I have lunch. But another thing is the portion issue. Like, I don't think I'm a huge eater, but I am not a Gwyneth Paltrow eater.
The portions are so small.
They're ridiculous. So I could probably eat like 2 of those and feel like that was full. But really, my experience was mostly what you're eating is flavored broth.
Yeah.
Which kind of gets to some other stuff about this book that I don't like that I'll save for a little bit later in the conversation. But it's almost like someone's trying to subtly tell you that you shouldn't want more food than the amount that she's giving you for a portion.
They're so small. I made the chai tea recipe today for our recording, and it makes like a cup and a half of chai. And she says serves 4. Like, I poured it into a mug and it's like enough for one person. So it's like, okay. There's also a recipe, quote unquote, for matcha.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, well, if you're buying the matcha, the recipe for how to make the matcha is on the bag.
Yeah.
You don't need the instructions. It's just like an idea of something that could be a... That's in the section that's like pick-me-ups.
Uh-huh.
It's like afternoon snacks, basically. So there's like matcha in there and chai tea and a couple of other drinky things with like a little bit of caffeine in them.
Mm-hmm.
Which, sure, great afternoon pick-me-up.
I have enjoyed browsing through that section to be like, oh, this would bring a little bit of joy to my life in an unexpected way.
And is that where the avocado toast is?
Yeah. So I would say about 50% of the recipes in this book fall into that, like, so simple, should this really be a recipe? / are you just assembling things?
Right.
And the other 50% are maybe legit recipes. And I know you've cooked a lot of those.
I have. I've cooked out of this book a lot. And there are some that have become sort of go-tos in my family. So the one that comes to mind immediately is the turkey meatloaf.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of like my family's go-to meatloaf. In the food processor, you blend up garlic, onions, and bacon. And then you saute that mixture.
Already cooked bacon. Oh, no, it's a raw bacon because then you're sauteing it.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Uh-huh. So you buzz it all up in the food processor. It makes sort of a paste. It's like an onion bacon paste.
Ooh.
Then you saute that in some olive oil, add it to the ground turkey, and you add some other ingredients and then cook it. And it's really nice.
Okay, what's funny about that to me, though, is it's a turkey meatloaf that has bacon in it.
Well, it calls for turkey bacon, but the turkey bacon does not cut it, in my opinion. So you just need to use real bacon.
Oh, that's so funny. Well, we all know how I don't really love turkey. I don't love ground turkey in recipes.
Right.
I just feel like it always turns out being a little bit dry.
Sure.
And so I can see how ground turkey maybe mixed with regular bacon might be a better combo.
Like, make it more exciting.
I know Eliz from Cookbook Club makes that recipe a lot, too. Mm-hmm. And she said that I think is her favorite recipe
it's
from this cookbook.
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good. I also like the tikka masala roast chicken, which is just a simple roast chicken recipe. But you make a yogurt and Indian spices mix. And it's sort of like a rub. And you rub it under and over the skin on the chicken. I mean, the yogurt has like a tenderizing effect on the chicken, and then the spices give it this like really beautiful sort of dark red color on the skin. And she has a couple of other sort of Indian inspired recipes that go well with it. The Indian creamed spinach is really good.
I have a question about the chicken. You're not marinating the chicken in this mixture. You're just pouring it on and putting it in the oven. And it's a whole chicken. You're not cutting it up into pieces.
It's relatively mild. I mean, if you eat the skin, like that's really tasty.
Yeah.
So, but it's a nice like flavor combination on a simple roast chicken.
Okay.
I'm not sure I would try it on a pastured bird,
You
know, because you're not getting that marinating time. But the yogurt does have, you know, a slight tenderizing effect in the oven. Another one I like is the cauliflower with curry and lime, which is a good one. That you can sort of make a menu of that with the roast chicken and the creamed spinach and the roasted cauliflower.
What is the spinach creamed with? Is it milk?
Yeah, I think it has milk and, again, Indian spices.
Okay. And then the cauliflower, curry and lime is roasted.
It's very simple. You toss the cauliflower in curry powder and oil, roast it. And then when it comes out, you toss it with lime. And she calls for veganaise, which this is a general criticism of Gwyneth Paltrow. She seems obsessed with veganaise.
I don't understand what
it's like vegan mayonnaise. I think it's basically safflower oil. It's what I'm guessing.
I assumed that it was something with like weight loss because I get that vibe through like every page of this book.
Sure.
And so when I was at the grocery store trying to make one of her recipes, I was like, I want to be really authentic, get everything exactly as she says.
And did you get it?
No, because I was comparing it with regular mayonnaise and like they have
the same thing. It's just vegan.
Yeah, there's no calorie difference.
No.
It was not a vegan recipe that I was making either. So that
I think she just loves it.
Why? I don't understand.
I mean, she has this other book, It's All Good, which is much more diety.
Uh-huh.
And like, I swear, every recipe in that book has veganaise in it.
But there's no calorie difference between the two, or there's like a very slight difference in calories. It's not like veganaise has like 25 calories and like regular mayonnaise has like 200.
It must not be about the calories. Like, she must just think it's awesome or something.
Maybe it just makes her feel good.
Maybe.
Which is like, to me, the new way that we describe weight loss is like, well, do you feel good?
Right.
/ have you lost 20 pounds?
I mean, I don't really get why she loves it. I'm also not a big mayonnaise fan. So I honestly can only really stomach mayonnaise that I make from scratch.
Maybe she likes veganaise because if you leave it out, you're not as worried about getting sick. Which I'm not one of those people, but I've met people like that where you go to a picnic and they're like, oh, does it have mayonnaise in it?
They're scared of the mayonnaise.
Well, yeah, we can't have that. It's like, really? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know why she loves it so much, but I just, when I make it, I have tossed it with some avocado oil mayo, which is what I stock. So yeah, you do this like lime juice, veganaise, and then I think it's like some cilantro or something. So it's like, it's a nice flavor. It's like punchy with the lime.
It sounds delicious.
It's really good. And I mean, roasted cauliflower is so good anyway. Like adding just a little punch of brightness from the lime is obviously going to be delicious.
So tiki masala roast chicken with Indian cream spinach and roasted cauliflower with Korean lime. That sounds
like a nice meal.
That sounds great.
When we did a cookbook club about this book and some other Gwyneth Paltrow books as well, you ended up bringing the Moroccan chicken salad wrap from this book.
And I thought it was fine. It was like Moroccan light, you know?
Sure. Like, it just had like curry powder in it,
yeah,
if I remember.
Yeah. Some really simple way to just put that hint of Moroccan flavor in it. She gives you your choice of wrap. So I just used a regular tortilla because that's what I had. It was not like the world's best chicken salad. I mean, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat has a really great curry chicken salad recipe in it that I love. And she has, like, I think a couple other variations on chicken salad. Like, that recipe is totally worth
it.
Really
yummy.
You know, nobody's going to write home about the Moroccan chicken salad wrap from this book. But
it was
fine.
Good.
It was good.
I
and it was
it.
Fine. And it was good for a crowd. Like, you can bang out like a bunch of them and for a luncheon type thing. But it wasn't authentically Moroccan. Which is leads us to the next point that I want to make, which is about cultural appropriation.
Yeah. Well, this is one of these books. It calls from a lot of different cuisines. You know, she's offering flavors from around the world, but she's a white woman. And so the question is really, is Gwyneth Paltrow the voice we need to introduce us to how to make ramen?
Yeah, I agree. Gwyneth Paltrow should not be the one teaching us to make ramen. Someone else should be.
Right. And there are so many cookbook authors who are bringing their own food culture to some really wonderful cookbooks. You know, one example I think of is there's a recipe in this book for a steamed halibut that you do sort of like in a packet with bok choy. There's a recipe for a very similar steamed fish in Andrea Nguyen's book, Vietnamese Food Any Day. And it's just so much better. And for instance, it calls for oyster sauce, which is an ingredient that Gwyneth Paltrow is never going to call for in a book like this because it's very mainstream for white ladies, I think.
I mean, that's the key is that is her audience are white people. I will say also in her pantry section, though, at the beginning of this book, you would expect something different because the pantry list is not so easy.
It's like 4 pages long, isn't it?
There's so many things in there.
I think the larger issue is not so much that you're making ramen out of a Gwyneth Paltrow cookbook. I think the larger issue is why not buy a book like Japanese Cookbook for Beginners by Azusa Oda, which has an easy ramen recipe in it, and then you're supporting a cookbook author of color.
Yeah.
I think there is also a counter argument to be made that, you know, there are people who maybe would never have tried cooking ramen if they hadn't picked up this Gwyneth Paltrow book. But I think we can do better. You know, I think we can seek out voices that are going to more authentically teach us with more authentic ingredients and all of that and just expose us to somebody who's not white.
Yeah. And they can still have like Andrea Nguyen's book is designed for weeknight cooking. It's very easy.
It's a very easy book. And this Japanese one is really easy, too.
Yeah. So it's not like you need to be intimidated by like, oh, this is going to take hours and have a super long, ridiculously long ingredient list. You know, they try to pare it down to make it usable for the everyday home cook, which is great. I think that, you know, there's nothing wrong with a white author like Gwyneth Paltrow trying to expose her predominantly white audience to different flavors from around the world if she is also trying to elevate the voices of those cookbook authors. Like, if you really like this ramen recipe, you should go check out blah, 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 you know, their ramen recipe. Or if you love this Thai curry noodle bowl, it's based on, you know, this area of Thailand that's, you know, whatever you can get. This is street food. Like, either educate your audience or inspire them to and help them connect to places where they can go down that rabbit hole.
Connect to other food cultures.
Yeah, like maybe they like Gwyneth Paltrow. They picked up this book. They're like, oh, I like it how easy she's making it for me to access these different recipes that have different flavors that I wouldn't seek on my own. Well, I would appreciate it if in the book she made that connection more to encourage people to go down that rabbit hole then of exploring Thai cuisine.
Right.
Or ramen or whatever the thing is.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then just also, yeah, on the whole, it helps to support other cookbook authors who are not moguls, models, and actors, but are working hard to publish cookbooks who are, you know, that's their main thing, which
I have a lot of internal conflict about this book because there are recipes that I have cooked from this book that I have thought were good. I don't think any of them for me have been a home run, but they've been like fine. And not every meal that I make in my kitchen needs to be the world's greatest recipe, you know? Like Sometimes we do need things that are just easy and relatively healthy and
And to that point, I think something that's really strong about this cookbook is that the simpleness makes them more accessible for children.
I mean, it sounds, I think that you could probably make almost anything from this cookbook and kids are going to be fine with it.
Yes.
I don't know if I want to make a big effort to make meals, though, that are just fine.
Totally.
I mean, maybe if you're like a really new cook, then this would be a great cookbook for you because you can feel more confident making avocado toast.
Or there's a black bean soup that we really love, but it's literally you just cook together sliced onions and canned black beans, and then you buzz them with an immersion blender.
Yeah.
My kids love it.
Which is not a bad recipe, but I guess I expect to find that recipe on the internet on like a random person's website and not really in like a nice, beautifully photographed cookbook that's packaged in the way that this one is.
Right.
I will say, I know that I'm being really critical of Gwyneth Paltrow, and I am not sure that other white male cookbook authors get such scrutiny as I'm giving to Gwyneth Paltrow. So, you know, in terms of the cultural appropriation issue, you know, we're being really critical of her. This book also came out in 2016. Right. And I feel like if I were reviewing this book in 2016, I wouldn't have such a focus on that. And so in that way, I feel like this book has not aged particularly well.
Right.
So maybe a future cookbook of hers will evolve a little bit just as we're kind of evolving.
We'll be back in a minute after this quick break. Dropcloth Samplers is a line of hand-drawn embroidery samplers, printed and ready for you to jump in and start stitching right away. Each pattern is hand-drawn by Rebecca Ringquist in her Portland, Oregon studio and printed for you to embroider with your own color and thread choices, like coloring book pages, but for embroidery. You can find Dropcloth Samplers on Etsy or on Instagram at Dropcloth. Speaking of evolving, I feel like something that's very predominant in this book is also diet culture.
It's like subversive diet culture, which to me is like the worst kind, you know, when I feel like we've slapped this label of like, let's take away the word fat and calories and low fat. Let's talk instead about wellness. And does it make you feel good? Some of that, especially in this book, I think it's still diet culture. Yeah, you should eat food that makes you feel good. But when you're also putting that with recipes that have these ridiculous portion sizes, it's sort of like, you should only drink a quarter cup of this milky chai. And if you want to drink the whole thing, maybe you should look a little bit closer in the mirror at yourself. You know, and I've just kind of gotten that vibe, like the Thai noodle bowl thing that I made. It's not a Thai noodle bowl. It's in like a mason jar. And most of it is broth. And I'm not like a voracious eater, but it did make me think afterwards, like, wow, I could have like three of these, you know?
Right.
So
it's
I think
a small portion.
All of that are these little pokes at like, you should be eating less. You should not want to eat more. You should want to eat things that are have like very little oil and fat and carbohydrates and like whatever in it, because that is the new version of diet culture.
Right. Right. Absolutely. The thing that always makes me laugh when you say it about this book is that there's a page with this gorgeous photo of her holding the tiniest little cake in the palm of her hand.
It reminds me of those like fad diets where they're like, you can eat anything you want, whatever you want, but just a tiny portion of it, you know,
like one bite.
You should have chocolate cake. No one should deprive you of that. Like, just eat a tablespoon of chocolate cake.
Right.
It's like, that's still sending me the same message.
Right.
This
right.
is still dieting.
Absolutely. Well, and it's also, you know, she has six cookbooks. This one, I would say, is sort of more family oriented. And the recipes do have some fat and, you know, there's bacon in some of them and stuff like that. But you
turkey
know,
bacon.
That's true. I was thinking of the avocado toast that has bacon on top of it.
Oh, okay.
And maybe that calls for turkey bacon, too. There's another book that she wrote called It's All Good, which is actually my first foray into the Gwyneth Paltrow world of cookbooks, because she co-wrote that one with our friend Julia Tertian.
Who we love.
And that's how I came to it. But that one is very diety. And also in a way where it's not saying that it's a diet, but it's like it's very elimination diet focused.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's all marked up with like, this is vegan, this is refined sugar-free. This is all the things that it doesn't have. Maybe this book is not a super restrictive diet book, but it does have all those markings. And you have to take it into a larger context with the Goop brand. That's just her lifestyle brand, right? It's very focused on wellness, on, you know, being thin and glowing and and all of that.
I think it's packaged like it's focused on wellness. I think it's more packaged on being skinny, white, and wealthy.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to. Yeah. And when you look at this book, knowing that context, you can see it.
Totally.
Like the photography and everything about the way this book is packaged is a celebration of whiteness. It is like her having the time and resources in life to run through beautiful fields in what looks like the English countryside in pastel cashmere and knit sweaters with her kids. And like everything is just so made up. Like this is a fairy tale that is aspirational to the point where it's just like unattainable for everyone.
Right.
And I'm not a Goop person in general, I guess.
Really?
just
kidding.
Some of it I love. Like love the hippie woo-woo stuff.
Yeah.
I love like the kind of hippie meaning of wellness of like, if it feels good to you to not eat refined sugar, don't eat refined sugar.
Right.
Like, great. If you feel better not eating gluten, I totally get that. Like, I don't eat dairy because my eczema that was chronic for 20 years disappeared after like a week. Whatever. If it works for you, then do it.
Right.
But don't do it because you're trying to be Gwyneth Paltrow, because you're not going to be.
Right.
You know, she has a bazillion dollars and she probably has a staff that helps her with her life, like cooking meals, stocking this ridiculous pantry list so that it can be so easy.
Right.
But it's not all going to be so easy for the rest of us.
Right. Right. Yeah. Maybe some of these non-recipe recipes are, but, you know, that is sort of the crux of the issue with the whole Gwyneth Paltrow brand is just that it's so aspirational.
That was like a real big soapbox that I just got on. So I'm trying to step down now. How would someone realistically use this book?
This is a great weeknight book, I think. It has enough ideas that I can turn to it when I'm in a real pinch. The sort of thing that I think was maybe like an early 2000s thing, like a 30-minute meal.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like most of the recipes out there that are a 30-minute meal are total misnomers. Like mm-hmm. they always take longer. This book actually, there's a specific section called In a Pinch, and it's like, make spaghetti carbonara, which mm-hmm. takes 5 minutes. You know, make this black bean soup, which is just cooking canned black beans with onions and buzzing them up with an immersion blender. Here's how to make a quick tomato soup out of a can of tomatoes and then make some grilled cheese with it.
Mm-hmm. And I have used that as inspiration for a weeknight meal before when I've been in a pinch.
It's more of an idea or an inspiration than a real recipe, I think, most of the time.
Yeah.
And so I think when I turn to this book is when I'm feeling overwhelmed, because I know it's actually quite easy.
Mm-hmm.
And fairly suited to my pantry as well.
And maybe she's giving us permission through this book too to phone it in and be like, okay, I'm going to basically open something that's just already canned and cooked and mix it and call that dinner. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Yes, you will end up with a chicken wrap that tastes like somehow it's slightly Moroccan inspired.
Sure.
But it's
some food to put in your stomach.
Yeah. I mostly cook from the breakfast and snacky parts of this cookbook. The meals don't work super well for our family and for my palate. Like what I want, if I'm going to put any kind of like thought and effort into making a recipe for dinner, these are not the kind of recipes that I want. But it has like helped me with like work time lunches. Like I have a home design studio, and when, you know, it's hard for me to stop to eat lunch, this book had some good recipes in there to shake up my routine and be like, maybe you should do something more than just like eggs on toast. Who do you think this book is a good fit for?
I think new cooks, for sure. If people are just sort of getting the hang of the kitchen, I mean, like this might even be a good book for somebody who's like just graduated from college and finally has a kitchen or something like that, because it is really pretty accessible in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
That pantry section maybe being the exception.
Mm-hmm.
But for such a long pantry list, I feel like there's only been a couple of times going through this book where I have felt like, I need what?
Yeah, I would really love, I'm not going to have the time to do this, but I wish that I could sit down and like cross-reference that pantry list with what is actually called for in this cookbook, because
it seems incongruent.
Yes, it does. I believe that is what her pantry looks like, but I don't believe that Gwyneth Paltrow is making these recipes for her family on a regular basis.
And I don't believe that you need all that stuff to make the recipes in this book.
No, most of them I haven't really needed anything for.
Right.
I already have all the ingredients.
It's pretty basic.
I mean, I would agree that a brand new cook, I almost want to say like a new parent or parents of young children who just need to kind of lower their expectations on what dinner looks like.
Sure.
And yet, I don't really want to make new parents feel bad by looking at these pictures of how easy Gwyneth's life is.
Because yeah.
I guess that's, I get a little offended. Apparently, with that, that's how that my reaction to this book is. It's like, it's not all easy. Like, we're
right.
working and trying to, like, keep sanity and, like, feed our
right.
kids healthy food. And, like, we don't have a staff
of
people.
I don't spend my summers on the Cape.
No.
Yeah.
Which she mentions in this book.
She does.
So, I mean, it's not like we're trying to read into whatever.
Right.
She brought it up. Well, I'm curious, Sarah, is this a book that earns a spot on your cookbook shelf?
I'm going to keep it.
That wasn't like a yes or a no.
Yeah, it has a spot.
You've had this book for a while.
Yeah.
Are there recipes in here that you still haven't cooked from that you want to cook from or that you're excited
to
cook from?
Yeah, I think
from?
I would probably try a few more. I do really like a couple of the dessert recipes.
That would be hilarious if like one of the desserts was like a bowl of blueberries. Like, that's not a recipe,
that's
Gwen.
That's not a recipe.
And also, that's not dessert.
Yeah. The dessert section in this book is a little bit cringy because it's all like no refined sugar, which is kind of interesting because I think the rest of it is a little less like overtly diety.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this chocolate mousse recipe in here. How you make it is you blend in the food processor avocados, cocoa powder, and maple syrup.
Oh, interesting combo.
Yeah. And then it needs to sit for a day for like the flavors to combine. And it's really good.
Huh.
And so that's something that I have called on before. That also doesn't answer your question about whether there are things I still want to make. I think there's things in here that I just haven't tried
mm-hmm.
that I definitely could. I feel like that was a wimpy answer to that question.
No, it's an honest answer. I mean, this is how we feel about the book, is it's not like a clear yes or no, black and white, good or bad. It's like,
it's worth it.
It's fine.
To own it, for me.
It's not worth it for me to own it. I don't really like owning cookbooks that don't teach me something or don't push me out of my comfort zone or give me something new to explore. And this book doesn't offer me enough of anything new.
Sure.
It's almost like a compilation of easy, you know, if I were reading like some website on like easy parenting hacks or something, you know,
yeah.
easy parent meals.
Yeah.
And here's a list of the top 10 from
sure.
whatever random Google search.
Sure.
That to me is enough to replace this book. I don't need, that was so mean. Oh.
I get it.
So no, I will be returning this book to the library promptly.
There you go.
We hope you will join us next time when we will be cooking from Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat by Samin Nosrat.
And cook along with us between now and then. Just tag us on Instagram at Cookbook Club Show or send us a voice memo or a comment at cookbookclubshow@gmail.com. You can find us online at cookbookclub.show.
Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss the next one. We have gotten some glowing reviews recently from Shibo001 and GP Twist. You both totally made our day by taking the time to talk about us, so thank you for reviewing the podcast. We hope that other listeners can do the same when you find a few minutes to spare. It really does help other home cooks find us too.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.